let's talk basketball and money. They go together like peanut butter and jelly. John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast joins us. Well, it's good to be Jaylen Brown for a while, isn't it?
Yep. That young man is a very rich person. As soon as he puts his name on a $304 million contract, 5-year extension, on top of everything that he's already made, it's the richest contract in NBA history.
And you wrote about some of the details of it here on Boston Sports Journal. There's a reason why it's $304 million.
Yeah, well, first of all, there's the potential for the salary cap to come in a little higher than maybe anticipated, but also there's a trade kicker in there that could push it up a little bit higher. Trade kicker is there if the Celtics decide to trade him, depending on the year where he can't make more than the max in that particular year. But if he gets traded 2 years from now and the salary cap goes up, say, 10% versus the 8% raises that he's getting, that little extra, he can get up to that amount. So there's a potential for this to go up above $300 million. As of right now, it's a little bit below $300 million. So, you know, take up a collection plate for Jaylen. But there is the potential, especially if he gets moved, for it to go up over $300.
So he's a very good player, maybe not the best player on his own team, a guy who certainly disappeared at times in the postseason, but is this the going rate for his level of talent? Is he setting the bar for others?
Well, this is a little bit of luck for Jaylen Brown. Like, he happens to be a free agent or eligible for the extension at a time where the NBA is as lucrative, taking in as much money as it ever has. So right now he is the richest player ever, but that will be surpassed a dozen times before you know, this contract is up. So he'll, you know, if you consider Jaylen Brown a top 15 or 20 player, well, eventually a few years as new Supermax deals get signed, he'll drop down to 15, 16, 17, you know, somewhere in that range. So it will eventually kind of find its level. But that's not going to stop people from saying, you know, does he deserve to be the richest player ever? That's not what it's about. That's not what we're talking about here. He happens to be eligible for the Supermax. The Celtics decided that they're going to give it to him because most teams, if not all teams, would in this situation. And, you know, congratulations on good timing, Jaylen Brown. That's all it comes down to.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. So they've got Brown and Tatum in the fold. They've got what looks to be a pretty deep bench and some talent here. What will be the identity of this team in the coming season?
I feel like it's going to be an offense-first team with Joe Mazzulla as the head coach. He could change. That could change. We've only seen him for one season, so he could change this team's identity. But considering what Brad Stevens has been doing, the way they've been putting this team together, it feels like the identity of this team will be offense and shooting. And, you know, you commit to Jaylen Brown. Obviously, they're going to commit to Jason Tatum. You bring in Kristaps Porzingis. You move your former defensive player of the year and a pretty versatile guy in Grant Williams, who, yeah, he could shoot, but also was a big part of your defense. It's obvious that they're going to be kind of focusing more on the offensive side of the ball while hoping their defense is good enough to support that.
Joel Embiid, is that a real possibility? Do they have some actual interest in him?
It's technically possible. Depending on how things go, right? Things are starting to line up in that way. It would be a bit of an unprecedented trade. But as I always say, any two teams can trade with one another if each team feels like they're going to accomplish their goals. And it's less likely that a Sixers and Celtics deal is going to happen because they're not only in the same conference, they're in the same division. They're regional rivals. They have a long history. And the last thing each team wants to do is make the other team a championship team. But if Philly decides to blow it up and rebuild, then the Celtics could potentially have an offer to make that happen. If I'm going to put a likelihood on it, it's definitely below 50%. But hey, stranger things have happened. It's still possible. I'll put it this way: it's not a 0% chance. That's I'll leave it at that.
Peyton Pritchard picked to play on the USA Select team. Is he expected to have a bigger role in the Celtics this coming season?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, as of right now, with Marcus Smart going out and no real ball handler coming in. I mean, Delano Banton's coming in, but he's on a two-way deal. Non-guaranteed deal. I would expect Banton to be kind of at the end of the bench, and Pritchard, with his familiarity, his shooting ability, moving up to the third string. So more opportunity for sure. I don't know what Malcolm Brogdon's injury is going to be like. It's been characterized as something that he'll be ready for training camp. But if there's any delay or setback, then that really pushes Peyton Pritchard's role up even more. But I would think that they want to limit Brogdon as much as possible, while still getting top production out of him. So if they could do that, keeping him at 25 minutes or so, 28 minutes or so, that's an opportunity there for him in and give the Celtics a solid 15 minutes, a couple of stretches, six, 7 minutes apiece, something like that. I can see that happening. And hey, good for him for making that USA Select team. That's a nice little honor. And it's just something that's going to serve him, as he continues to try to improve. Any kind of exposure to a situation like that is going to be good for a player.
A former Celtic, Kemba Walker, headed to Europe to play. Do they have a greater tolerance for crazy there?
I don't feel bad for Kemba Walker at all.
No.
I mean, after making $200 million in a couple of All-Star games, he's getting paid to play professionally in Monaco. What a shame. But that's going to be fun for him. That's a nice score for, a team, a Eurobasket team that's a smaller team. I think it's going to be fun. I think they're going to be the attention is going to be on them a little bit more. I think Kemba is going to bring a little bit of attention there. It's going to be fun. I mean, what a life. You get to go play professional ball in Monaco. I mean, that's great.
It's not bad at all. John, how dare you suggest that a 110, 11-year-old baseball facility with obstructed views, girders in your way, sitting with your knees right under your chin, how dare you suggest that could be improved in some way with a new facility?
I know. Every once in a while, I get half a Boston pissed off at me at suggesting that Fenway Park should, be put out to pasture. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to downplay its history or, it's a cool little place. But I went to a game there recently. I'm 6'5".
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's not a place where I enjoy watching a game. So sitting out in right field, you're looking at the center fielder, you got to twist your body. I don't know. I just don't have that attachment to a ballpark the way some people do, which is fine. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that, sometimes you got to move on. The place was built in 1912. It's 2023. Like, turn it into a museum if you want, but give me a ballpark where I can sit and enjoy, and you can still make it cool. There's architects out there that can do the job. I don't know. That's my team.
I'm with you on that. And I grew up, I have that attachment, but it's not so strong that I would rather have what they have than go someplace, you know, comfortable and modern. There's nothing wrong with that in my perspective.
I mean, don't we spend all our lives trying to get more modern and, you know, like my phone, my car? Like I'm not driving a Model T to the game. I'm driving a nice car with Bluetooth and touchscreen and all of that. So we upgrade everything in our lives, but we want our ballpark to be, 120 years old. I just let it go. Appreciate it for what it is. All of that stuff. I'm not trying to downplay it at all. I'm just saying, give me something more modern. Make it cool. Make it modern. And we can all have fun.
There you go. John Corrales. He's not just about basketball these days. He's everywhere. John, thanks for being with us. Enjoy the week, and we'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then.